With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to iHeartMedia's Bay Area Focus, highlighting events and great causes here in the Bay Area.
One love, this is Larry Dorsey Jr. with iHeartRadio, and the name is the same as the social media handle. We have a very special person on this interview, someone that is friends with my father, is like a mother figure to me and has taught me so much and does so much for the city of San Francisco, Felicia Jones.
Yeah, I enjoyed you working with me too. And so, you know, I know you want me to kind of give a rundown over all the work that I do in San Francisco. So again, my name is Felicia Jones. I am the founder of Justice for Mario Woods Coalition. I am the founder of Wealth and Disparities in the Black Community. I work for San Francisco Sheriff's Department. I develop programs for the brothers behind the walls. We have Discovering Your True Self, Project Breakthrough. We do Behind the Walls Thanksgiving Day dinner for the brothers, you know, and just give them a feast. And you know, as they are behind the walls, when they come to Thanksgiving behind the walls, they really feel that they're at the dinner table, you know, at their grandmother's house. So I do the work because, for one, I love Black people. And I always say I'm not anti-white or anti-Pacific Islander or anti-Latino or, you know, any other ethnic groups, but I am pro-Black. And it seems to me that Black San Franciscans, we are suffering the most. I often say that Black San Franciscans, we are worse off than the immigrants here in San Francisco, based upon the racial inequalities and inequities that we face every day in all areas of our lives, from education, health, housing, mass incarceration, employment. There's just huge disparities in the lives of Black San Franciscans. And then I often ask myself, who really cares about Black San Franciscans? And I'll be the first to raise my hand to say that I love Black people.
I do too.
Yeah, I know you do. And you've done some of the work with me, especially with Discovering Your True Self. You know, you used to come into the jail with me, and the brothers was, you know, honored, and you gave so much to the brothers when you came with me. And we're starting now. I'm planning on doing a Discovering Your True Self mentoring program. You know, that's on the drawing board. So hopefully that you will find some time between your comedy and you teaching comedy and skydiving. You will be able to come and help me with this project.
So let's before we get into the other things that you mentioned earlier, since we're already on this path, let's talk more about what inspired you to start working and helping people who are incarcerated.
Well, I've always helped people in the community since I was like 15 years old, but I had a nonprofit organization, Hope Preservation Inc., in which I was doing and developing mentoring programs for Black youth in San Mateo, and doing anti-tobacco, HIV/AIDS, and just mentoring, building self-esteem, self-confidence, and cultural pride with from middle school to high school students. And one time, you know, having a 501c3, a lot of people think, oh, I need to get a 501c3. I'm going to get a 501c3. But, you know, it is part of you being an entrepreneur. It is part of you being in business for yourself. But also having a 501c3 means that you have to chase money. You're always trying to chase money. You got to find people who's willing to give you money to be able to implement the programs that you had. So fortunately, when I first started my 501c3, San Mateo County Alcohol and Drug Services, they were funding me for the San Mateo County NEA Mentoring Project, which was working with the Black youth of San Mateo. And my area around King Center. So, you know, I really didn't have to worry about funding, but I also had to worry about, you know, other means of monies, how I was going to get it. So I stayed in that business for about 10 to 12 years, I think. And one brother, you know, a friend of mine said, oh, Felicia, they're giving money away at the jail. I said, they're giving money away at the jail. And he was like, yeah, you need to go up there and try to get some. So he gave me the contact person's name, George Durand. And he invited me up. And at the time, it was at San Bruno Annex. We were meeting, you know, kind of group style, not knowing when I was going up there that it was a jail behind the area in which we were meeting. And the brothers, you know, they began to take to me, and they was like, oh, George, you need to hire Felicia. You need to hire this sister. And so we talked about it. And when I went to talk to him about the job, he said, oh, well, you know, the jail is right there. I said, the jail? And he was like, yeah, you didn't know it was a jail behind, you know, where we meet? I was like, no. And so he hired me. And so that's how I got into working inside the jail, San Francisco County Jail. And so stayed at San Bruno for about 11 years, developed programs for the brothers, you know, at San Bruno Jail, then came downtown to community program 70 Oak Grove. And so that's where I'm currently at now.
Powerful. And how has that been for you? How has it been working with people behind bars and influencing them and inspiring them and changing their lives? What impact has that been for you as well as them?
Well, the impact is, first and foremost, you know, for us who do community work, with yourself included, I believe it's a calling. You know, God has given me a calling on my life to work with this particular population. I love it. You know, a lot of times with the brothers behind the walls, they don't have culturally competent, appropriate, and sensitive programs behind the jail. And that was my role. My goal was to develop culturally competent, specific, and appropriate, sensitive programmings for them. You know, we're discovering your two self. It was one that we would break down that sense of false image that they have around their gangster, they a goon, they a pimp, and all of these issues and images that they worked on developing into perfection, you know. And but I would tell them, you know, those are all lies, because we have to get back to our authentic self, our greater self, our essential self, you know, our true self. And began to help them break that stuff down. And, you know, of course there's the trauma and fear, and but, you know, doing a lot of writing exercises, and the guys took to me, you know, I take no prisoners, you know, inside that jail, because I am a woman and I love them. But at the same time, don't come asking me for nothing. Don't be calling me by my nickname, because they always want to put a nickname on you, Fee, or, you know, auntie, a mom. And I'm like, no. My name is Felicia. You can call me Felicia, Miss Felicia, or Miss Jones. That's the only thing you can call me. But, you know, I enjoy the work, you know, because I can't change anyone. And like I tell them, I can't change you. You have to change you. My responsibility is to bring good information, and hopefully that I can plant a seed and you begin to nurture and water that seed for your change.
Mm. I think you accomplished that with me as well, you know, and that's deep. Mm-hmm. So what's the future for this work that you're doing? Like, where do you see it developing into, and how do you see it folding out for Black San Franciscans? Or, I mean, people who are incarcerated.
Well, right now, I think the brothers behind the walls, you know, they all on lockdown, you know, which is disturbing to me due to COVID. So, they've been on lockdown for 2 years. Like they're in a high security, maximum security prison or something, which, you know, I'm trying to, was fighting to allow them to have more freedom so that they can program, so that they can earn their milestone credits, you know. And so they're not able to earn their milestone credits while they're locked up and there's no programming. One of the things that I wanted to begin was a vocational program and collaborate with CityBuild, where I can work with the brothers there and give them some skills around CityBuild, you know, going into the laborers union or whatever. And then once they come out, they can continue that training on the outside with CityBuild. And so that became a halt. And so, you know, and again, I'm really kind of convinced, as much as I love the work and know that lives are being changed behind the work, a lot of times I'm like, you know, do those who are in power and have the say-so, do they really want change? Because for me, they tore down Project Breakthrough, which was, you know, the guys told me it was one of the best programs that ever was inside San Francisco County Jail, Discovering Your True Self. We're still trying to hang on to that. But again, you know, with COVID, so now I'm have on the drawing table Discovering Your True Self mentoring program, in which we would take it outside of the walls, behind the walls, and take it to the community, starting with Bayview. The brothers who are Discovering Your True Self alumni, they would be the mentors.
Okay, I see that. And, you know, one of the things you also do, since you mentioned the Bayview, and,
yeah,
you know, earlier you mentioned wealth and disparities, is you do a lot of protests and actions and organizing. And can you talk more about that and wealth and disparities?
Well, wealth and disparities was I developed that about maybe 12 years ago, and we were looking at the disparities of Black San Franciscans. And the issue was that, you know, again, the disparities around homelessness, education, employment, housing, health, you know, we were at the highest across all of these issues. And it's like, you know, why is Black people at the highest level of all these issues in San Francisco and nobody is really working on them, you know? And so I began to implement that. And then what happened was, we were trying to do it all. It was a lot of community input. We developed committees. And then after about 2 years of doing the work, we were like, okay, this is really a lot for us to, you know, take on. We tried to do it. I think we did a good job while we were doing it. But, you know, for us to be really impactful in the Black community in San Francisco, it was just really too much. So around November of 2015, we were going to take a break and come back in 2016 and decide which two or three issues that we really were going to really hone in on. And then Mario Woods got murdered in December 2nd, 2015. And, you know, went to a meeting, and the meeting didn't go very well. And people were angry and upset. And then they start coming to me saying, Felicia, you have to do something. Felicia, you have to do something. And at the time, I was a union steward for SEIU 1021. And I just kind of gave in to the community and was like, okay, all right, let's meet. And so when we met, I came up with the name Mario Woods, Justice for Mario Woods Coalition. Justice, the number 4, Mario Woods Coalition. And so that's how that began. And then the work of wealth and disparities kind of took the back table, because now I was addressing police brutality, police murders. And never really addressed that type of work before until the murder of Mario Woods. And so with the wealth and disparity since then, this is the work that we're doing now. You know, we brought the United States DOJ to San Francisco to look at the San Francisco Police Department and look at the racism within San Francisco Police Department. And the United States Department of Justice, DOJ, found 94 findings and 272 recommendations for reform that the San Francisco Police Department, you know, must go undergo. And so when Trump came in, you know, he stopped all of that work. But Mayor Ed Lee, because of all the murders that had happened in San Francisco, Alex Nieto, Pat Gongora, Jessica Williams, Keata O'Neill, you know, Mario and others, you know, he said that he was going to honor the work that needed to be done in San Francisco. And so wealth and disparities, we have been the main social justice group to deal with police reform in San Francisco. I've been doing that work since 2016, you know, staying on top of the police department, trying to get them to bring down the statistics of use of force, arrest, and racial profiling through traffic stops for Black San Franciscans. And, you know, some things they have done, but they have not done a good job in the areas in which I want them to work on, and that is the use of force, you know, arrest and racial profiling through traffic stops. So that's the work Wealth and Disparities we're doing currently, meeting with the police chief, you know, on a quarterly basis, going to the police commission meetings and, you know, fighting, you know, the police department, you know, and pushing back on them and, the Board of Supervisors also. So, you know, really dealing with those three entities to make a change within San Francisco Police Department when it comes to Black San Franciscans.
I remember when a lot of this was starting. You know, by the way, I think I think one of the first protests that I did with you was maybe in 2013 or 2014. I could be wrong. But I remember when all this was first getting started, it was almost as if there was actions and, you know, all types of, things happening almost every day for a span of years. Like you had like mobility and movement with, you know, thousands of people for a span, you know, before Trump kind of like changed the dynamics of things. But it was like you had it moving and shaking for a while. I remember it's still going, but I'm saying like there was a moment where it was like big, you know?
Yeah, not like it's still going with a few diehard faithful people of Wealth and Disparities, you know. We're small, but we're mighty. And, you know, everybody wants, you know, to be able to have this mass influx of people who wanting to do the work. But, you know, being human, people, they start something and a lot of times they don't finish, or they start and then they drop out, or, you know, it's kind of like school, you know what I mean? So, but I'm still here, you know, trying to do the work, trying to make a difference because I love Black people. We also give out food to those in Bayview Hunters Point, you know, due to COVID. We give out food and money and, you know, help people go down at Mendel Plaza and pass out, you know, mask and sanitizer and give them money, you know, because it's pockets of our area that nobody really thinks about. And so, you know, I go down there and give them money. And, you know, I remember one of my team members was like, "Oh, Felicia, oh, I don't know if we should give them money. They may go and, you know, do something else with it." I said, "I don't care what they do with it. You know, I can't control that. I only can control that this is what God has told me to do. I'm going to give them money. And, you know, what can they do with $10 or $20? You know what I'm saying? Whatever they do with it, that's their business. But just to be able that to reach them, and they know that they're not forgotten either. So, you know, I try to make sure I reach all pockets of Black people. But, you know, It's a trying work. I love the work, but you know, you definitely need more support and more help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you give powerful speeches. If for the listeners, if you haven't heard her give a speech, it gets deep. I remember you'd come to college campuses too and give speeches to the Black student unions and.
Thank you.
If anybody wanted to help out with your movement or volunteer or support, how would they get in contact with you, or how would they, what should they do?
They can email us at mwjusticenow@gmail.com. That's M as in Mary, W, I should say M as in Mario, W Woods, justicenow@gmail.com.
And is there any social media pages or websites?
Yeah, we have Wealth and Disparities in the Black Community. We're on Facebook. Yeah, and we have a Instagram page, and we also have a website. So we have all of those things, you know, that is managed by, you know, one of my team members. You know, I'm more or less, you know, looking at the bigger picture and, you know, working with the AG and making, you know, sure that these people don't ignore us. You know, it's a lot of work that goes into having politicians wanting to talk to you, you know, and I always tell people, you know, some of them be like, oh, well, you can talk to my staff. And I'm like, you know, I mean, you have probably have good staff, but, you know, I'm going to talk to you.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to talk to the AG. I'm going to talk to the Board of Supervisors. I want to talk to the President of the Police Commission. I want to talk to the Chief of Police.
Yeah.
That's who I want to talk to.
Yeah. Let me talk to the manager.
Who owns
this place?
Talk to Mayor London Breed, who I love very much. You know, let's talk to the mayor. Yes.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, so that's the person who I am. You know, start at the top.
Do you think reparations for us as Black people here in San Francisco, or even in the country, you think there's any progress, or that's going to be a reality?
I know in some places in the country that's doing better than other places in the country, and I can't say what cities and states there are. There is a reparations task force that President Walton has legislatively put forth that is now working on, you know, reparations for San Franciscans. The reparations piece of it is not legislative yet, but the task force is legislative. And so the task force is legislation behind that. This task force will be together for, I believe, 2 or 3 years. I can't remember offhand, and work on, you know, reparations for San Francisco. However, once they do work on reparations and, you know, it comes out that this is what San Franciscans want for reparations, is no legislation to say legislation to say reparations will be in effect at the time that the task force will get through with developing reparations. So that's the piece I'm concerned with. The reparations task force is legislation behind that. But, you know, the main thing, we must begin to get reparations legislation to say once this task force comes up with the key findings and the reports that this is what San Franciscans want and need, then it has to be legislation to say it's going to go into effect. And that's the piece that I'm more concerned about than anything. And so they meet on a regular basis. The community is definitely invited to the Zoom calls. I know that they also are working on doing some community engagement because we have to get the word out to the community. We have to get input from the community. And so I'll be glad when that piece of the reparations task force implement that. And that's the community engagement.
Most definitely. You've just listened to Felicia Jones. The list could go forever if I start talking about all the beautiful, positive things that she does. And I've been Larry Dorsey Jr. with iHeartRadio. And the name is the same as the social media handle.
We'll be right back with more on iHeartMedia's Bay Area Focus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.